Our Father, we thank you that we can be gathered in your presence this day to worship you. Thank you for reaching out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that through him we can not only experience forgiveness of sins, we've also become your children. And we thank you that you continue to teach us your ways, and we pray that the Spirit of God may continue to have the freedom to reveal more of the Lord Jesus to us, your intentions for us in him, and what you revealed in the Scriptures, so that more and more we may be able to live our lives in the way that you desire of us. We pray that you have the freedom to speak to us, renew our minds, and help us to have a clearer sense of how we should live our lives each day. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 198th message. The subtopic for today, eagerness to learn, to know, to receive the third message. We have been reflecting on the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth, and the preceding two messages I considered with you an important implication. Eagerness to learn, to know, and to absorb the truth, especially truth in relation to who God is and the ways of God, how we can be faithful to God, and how God's will can be fulfilled in our lives as well as the lives of others. Your will be done. The last message I mentioned, with the coming of Christ and the new covenant, the Lord Jesus opens up to us fresh dimensions of deep, precious truth that we ought to know. These are truths that have been in the heart of God before the foundation of the world, but has been hidden since then until the coming of Christ. And knowing and receiving these truths into our hearts is of utmost importance and value in our working of God's purposes. The Lord Jesus uses the expression, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to refer to these fresh revelations. This expression, the mysteries of God, in Luke chapter 8, verse 10. Understanding the kingdom of God and the issues involved is crucial for the fulfillment of God's purposes, and is a central theme in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul also uses the term mystery to refer to these important truths, hidden in the heart of God since the foundation of the world and now revealed. Paul uses the expression, the mystery of Christ, Colossians 4:3, which is basically the same as the mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6:19, and the mystery of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. And Paul devoted his life to be a trustworthy steward of the mystery entrusted to him, and that basically consists of transmitting the content of the mystery. Transmitting the content of mystery for Paul is not just transmitting of concepts and words, but more importantly, the spiritual meaning and reality. At the end of the last message, I posed the question, is there a difference in emphasis in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus and the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul? Or is the emphasis in the preaching and teaching similar? Let us now examine this issue, beginning with the Lord Jesus. We have seen the Lord Jesus in his preaching and teaching highlighted the kingdom of God, that we may know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if we prayerfully consider the content of the preaching of the Lord Jesus, we will realize that it is correct to say that a central theme in his preaching and teaching is the kingdom of God. I have covered this at some length with you in the book The Two Kingdoms, and I'll now quote a portion of it in the second edition, page 26. Open quotation. The kingdom of God is very much in God's heart and is central to the teaching, or is central to the fulfillment of his purposes. It is a major theme in the scriptures and the teaching of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, the Lord Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. This statement reveals that preaching the kingdom of God was a primary burden of his heart and an important aspect of his mission on earth. The Lord Jesus preached the kingdom of God right from the beginning of his ministry. And throughout his ministry, he constantly spoke about the kingdom of God, what it is like, how one can have a part in it, how it grows, and what values, perspective, attitudes, and conduct should characterize those in the kingdom of God. He continued to do so even after his resurrection and before his ascension. During that period of 40 days, he spoke to his disciples the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Close quotation. What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, in his preaching and teaching, concentrated on the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And that is how the Apostle Paul understood the way to discharge his stewardship of the mystery. His understanding of the mystery, he describes it as the mystery of Christ. At the very heart of the mystery is concerning Christ, the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ. He also uses the term the mystery of the gospel, and that is the good news. The gospel is the good news. The good news of what God intends for us in Christ. He also uses the expression the mystery of the faith. What God intends for us in Christ is the heart of the message and content of the Christian faith. Paul puts it in this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we can say throughout his preaching, his teaching ministry, and also at the very heart of the content of his epistles, is to help us to understand the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ, and how we can participate in God's purposes, the fulfillment of God's purposes in Him and through Him. We can say the emphasis in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul is similar. Why? We have seen the Apostle Paul in his preaching and teaching concentrated on the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ in the fulfillment of God's purposes. That is the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, the good news of what God intends for us in Christ. But we see, likewise, the Lord Jesus, in his preaching and teaching, he emphasized the same things. He emphasized the need to repent and believe in the gospel, the need to come to him, to partake of him, so that we may have eternal life. That is, in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus, he also concentrated on helping the hearers to understand who he is and his role in the fulfillment of God's purposes. He emphasized the need for us to abide in him and he in us, to abide in his word, to submit to his lordship, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. Isn't this at the very heart of what the Lord Jesus was trying to communicate in his ministry? And if you reflect further, you'll see that all these emphases in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus are consistent with his concentration on the kingdom of God, helping us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Because to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God involves, at the very heart of it, understanding the role of Christ. Because these teachings of the Lord Jesus show us the way to enter the kingdom of God, as well as how we can fare well in God's kingdom. It is through him and in him. It's submission to Christ reigning in our hearts. That's what the Lord Jesus, at the heart of his teaching, is trying to help us. He urges us in that direction. He exhorts us, and he emphasizes to us that that is critical, the Lordship of Christ. Why? Because he is the King in the kingdom of God. So the person and role of Christ is central to the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. As Paul puts it, the mystery of Christ. So you see, early in his ministry, the Lord Jesus was preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. If you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the context, just preceding the baptism of the Lord Jesus, and then he was tempted by Satan. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, and then he began his ministry. And verse 14 tells us, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. What is it the Lord Jesus was preaching? He was preaching the gospel, and that is the need of every person to repent and believe in the gospel, which is the good news of salvation in Christ, and the way we can receive forgiveness of sins, and the way we can enter into the kingdom of God. Repent and believe the gospel. That's how we can enter into God's kingdom. And that is the good news of salvation in Christ, and how we can be forgiven of our sins. The Lord Jesus also tells us that we, for us to have eternal life, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. That is the need to partake of him, to partake of his life. Eternal life is critical. But how can we have eternal life? It's by eating his flesh, drinking his blood, and that is to partake of him. Let us look at John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. Again, if we look at the context, verse 48, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." The Gospel of John is known for the various I ams. And what are those? They are basically very important revelation of Christ, who he is. And who speak these words? The Lord Jesus himself. So at the very heart of his ministry is his revelation of who he is. Verse 48, "I am the bread of life." Verse 51, "I am the living bread." And we must partake of him. So then, verse 53. But before that, verse 51, after he says, "I'm the living bread," he says that if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. It was in that context that he said, verse 53, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves." In other words, he's telling them, it is essential, critical. You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. And he says he is the bread of life. What does this mean? Eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Verse 54, he explains, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. He's not talking about the physical eating of his flesh and drinking his blood. He's talking about the spiritual dimension. Eternal life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. That means spiritually, we must partake of him. How can we partake of him? The scriptures reveal to us, and especially the preaching, teaching of the Lord Jesus himself. When we repent and believe in the gospel, when we repent and believe in him, then we can partake of his life. That is how we enter God's kingdom, become God's children, and that's how we can receive the gift of eternal life. We see throughout the scriptures, nobody preaches and teaches the way the Lord Jesus does. And one aspect that is characteristic of the way he preaches, which no one else preaches like that, is inviting people to come to him in the ultimate sense. No one can probably invite others to come to him in that way. The Apostle Paul, the great preacher and teacher, he never did that. But rather, he preached Christ. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. We've seen this in other message. The preaching of Christ, of the Apostle Paul, is centered on Christ. He points others to Christ. Likewise, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. But the Lord Jesus himself, when he preached, he says, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. We've looked at these verses many times. The Lord Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who are weary and heavy laden, and all those without God, are weary and heavy laden. And you can only have this kind of rest by coming to the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Ultimately, we have to learn from him. Yes, others may help us, but he is the ultimate teacher. And it is in him that we can find rest for our souls. And he's our perfect example. Not only learn from his teaching, but learn from him. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. So he invites us to come to him, to believe in him, to learn from him, and to receive the gift of eternal life by partaking of his life. He teaches us the need to come to him so that we may have life. But not all are willing to come to him. John chapter 5, verse 40. John chapter 5, verse 40. Again, if we look at the context, the Lord Jesus, in the preceding verses, mentions various testimonies in relation to him. Verse 33, he referred to the witness of John. He says, you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Remember, in this context, we are talking about our hearts eager to know, to learn, to receive the truth. And the very heart of the truth is a revelation of Christ himself. And John testified to the truth. And what is the heart of the truth that John was testifying to? Pointing others to Christ. Behold the Lamb. So the John the Baptist testified to the Lord Jesus. But not only that, in verse 36, the Lord Jesus says, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me. The last part of verse 36. Verse 37, he says, and the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. Testimony of John the Baptist, testimony of his works, testimony of God the Father himself. And then verse 29, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. In fact, the whole of the scriptures testify to the Lord Jesus and the centrality of his role and ministry. The Gospel of Luke, the last chapter, tells us the two on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus himself told them how the scriptures testify of him. Verse 39, the Lord Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life." And that is not wrong. Through the scriptures, we can come to understand God's revelation of the way to eternal life. And the Lord Jesus says, it is these that testify about me. The scriptures testify about him. But he says, "And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." It is not the text itself. It's not the text of the scriptures that can grant us eternal life. The text of the scriptures testify about the Lord Jesus. But we must come to the Lord Jesus so that we may have life. He's at the very heart of God's revelation. That is why he's known as the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus himself tells us of our need to come to him. It is through Christ and in him that we can experience the life of spiritual abundance in God's kingdom. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus preached about the kingdom of God, how we can enter the kingdom of God, but also how we can have spiritual abundance. The life of spiritual abundance. Let's turn to John chapter 10, verse 10. Again, if we look at the context, beginning from verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." So he is the door, and it is through him that we will experience salvation. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. It is through him. And will go in and out and find pasture. That is the richness of life. And it's that context that he tells us, verse 10. "I came that may have life and have it abundantly." If we enter this door, we will find pasture. This reminds us of Psalm 23, the kind of life that David experienced. But now it is more fully revealed and even richer. The kind of spiritual life and abundance that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 11, he went on to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that is how we can experience salvation, because he lays down his life for us, referring to the cross. But not only he died for us, he rose again, and he is our good shepherd. He is the way to the life of spiritual abundance. And again, it is the Lord Jesus himself who teaches us that it is crucial that we abide in him and he in us, so that we can bear much fruit in God's kingdom. We have referred to John chapter 15, especially verses 4 and 5 from time to time. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He says, "Abide in me and I in you." Again, these are words that only the Lord Jesus can proclaim and declare. No one else can declare these words appropriately, because he is God himself. "Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." We must abide in him. He is the source of our life. And not only experience salvation in him, we must continue to abide in him. Together with that, he in us. There must be the submission to him, and he has the freedom to express his life in us and through us. It is only in that way that we can bear much fruit. For apart from him, we can do nothing. That's what he tells us in verse 5. And we know again he's talking about doing things that are of value in God's kingdom. Because we know Christians are not only can, many Christians still do many things outside of Christ. Not because of their fellowship with Christ, abiding in Him and He in us. So he's talking about bearing much fruit in God's kingdom. And this is the fruit they will endure through eternity. And so we thus see that the themes of the kingdom of God and the person and role of Christ go together. Both of these are central themes in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And it's very important, very helpful, if we can see this clearly, be deeply convicted about it, and when we read through the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New, to recognize that at the very heart, the core center of God's revelation, what God wants to communicate to us, has to do with God's eternal kingdom, how we can have a part in it, farewell, and participate in the advancement of God's kingdom, and going together with it, the role of Christ, and what God intends for us in Him. These two themes are inextricably intertwined. That is, you cannot separate them. They are intertwined. The mysteries of the kingdom of God and the mystery of Christ. So if we begin to appreciate the scriptures in this way, we see they're so beautiful. How God has inspired the scriptures. The Lord Jesus talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul talking about the mystery of Christ. And these two themes coming together. And they are the very heart of what God wants to reveal to us and how we can not only enter into God's kingdom but participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom and their working and fulfillment of God's purposes. So these themes are the core center of the fresh dimensions of deep, precious truths God wants us to know under the new covenant with the coming of Christ. Many of us are not so conscious of this because we've been reading the New Testament together with the Old, hopefully. And here and there, we read about these things. But if we pause and after years of reading the scriptures, and we compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, then we'll realize that many of these deep things that has to do with God's kingdom and the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Him, and how we can live well in God's kingdom, they are not clearly revealed in the Old Testament. Not zero, because the Old Testament does prepare us for these fresh revelations of these vital truths in the New Testament. But there's much revelation in the New Testament of new truths not clearly revealed in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, including very vital truths. But both are major themes in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus. The kingdom of God and the role and the person of Christ. But we'll see that not only are these two major themes, also major themes in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus, they are likewise major themes in the preaching and teaching of Paul. That's why I say the emphasis is actually similar, not different. Although the Apostle Paul uses the expression the mystery of Christ, the Lord Jesus uses the expression the mysteries of God, of the kingdom of God, when they are referring to these central truths in relation to what God wants to reveal to us under the new covenant. Let us now turn to Acts chapter 28 in relation to the ministry of Paul. And I want to refer to a few verses to see how these things come together in a very beautiful way. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. This is the last chapter, the last few verses of the book of Acts. Verse 23, Paul was meeting up with the Jews. Verse 23 says, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And what did Paul do? He was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God. And trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. From both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. So notice here, Paul was doing two things. He was testifying about the kingdom of God. And actually, throughout the ministry of Paul, he was actually talking about the kingdom of God. Even if these words are not expressly there. I will elaborate a little bit on that afterwards. When the Jews came to him, he was testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. And this is from both the law of Moses and the prophets and so on. But later you see also in his epistles, what was he talking about? It's about these two themes. So from morning until evening, because these two themes are closely intertwined. And these are the burdens of Paul's heart. And even clearer, if we look on at verses 30 and 31. What he did for 2 full years while he was imprisoned. You may say, verse 23, oh, that was just on that one occasion. But verse 30 and 31, these are very informative, revelatory verses in relation to the ministry of Paul and what he concentrated upon. Verse 30, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rendered quarters and was welcoming all who came to him. And likely this all include believers as well as non-believers. And what was he doing? Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. This was how Luke. So this is not the words of Paul. Luke himself describes it. He describes the ministry of Paul. What was Paul doing for 2 years? For 2 full years. That is what Paul was doing. Preaching the kingdom of God. For 2 years, he was just preaching the kingdom of God. And also teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That was at the very heart of the ministry of Paul. Same as the Lord Jesus. What was the apostle doing when he preached Christ? The apostle Paul preached Christ so that through faith in Christ, man might enter God's kingdom. Same as Lord Jesus when he was preaching the gospel. And if you read through the epistles of Paul, this comes very, very clear. He emphasized faith in Christ. That's how we can have salvation. That's how we can have a part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. That's how we enter God's kingdom. That's how we become God's children. Same. The ministry of Paul, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But the Apostle Paul not only preached Christ so that through faith in Christ, man might enter God's kingdom. No. He continued on. For those who have entered God's kingdom, he continued to preach Christ to them. He continued to teach them about Christ. And he also wrote to them epistles. Why? So that they can walk in Christ, grow in him, and become mature in Christ. We can see, and if you read through the epistles, bear this in mind, you can see this very clearly in the epistles of Paul. His goal, why did he write all these epistles? We can see all the epistles written by Paul to believers is to help them to know how they can and how they ought to live and how we can fare well in God's kingdom. How we ought to live as God's children. Isn't that what the epistles are all about? He wants to help us to know that our citizenship is in heaven. That's why he tells us in his epistle to the Philippians. How we can live in this fallen world as citizens of heaven. Because we are already citizens of God's kingdom. We are already in the kingdom of God while we are living in this fallen world. So he has written. And in that verse in Philippians, when he talks about our citizens in heaven, he also talks about looking forward to the coming of our Savior. Looking forward to the second coming, then how then should you live? And he also tells us, even though he's preaching concentration on the Lord Jesus, but he says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. That is, he's trying to tell us how we ought to live in God's kingdom. Yes, there's a place for eating and drinking, but that is not the primary thing. We don't live to eat, we eat. Because that's part of the needs of the physical body God provides for us. But our concentration is on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. First, the spiritual dimension, the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our relationship with Christ, to know Christ, and to appreciate the teachings of Christ. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, the spiritual dimension, not worldly righteousness, not self-righteousness, but the righteousness, the peace, the joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit. If we reflect on the content of Paul's teaching and preaching and what he has written in the epistles preserved for us in the scriptures, we'll find that it merges very well with the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus. This is something that I want to leave with you to ponder further, and the other major aspect to bear in mind is that although the Lord Jesus preached about many things, many issues, he covers a lot of issues, likewise the Apostle Paul. It is good to see that the very heart of all the preaching and teaching has to do with the kingdom of God. How we can enter God's kingdom, how we can fare well in God's kingdom, how we can participate in the advancement of God's kingdom is one very major theme. The other major theme is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As Paul himself testifies, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But not only the apostle, the Lord Jesus himself preaches, proclaims, and helps men to know who he is and our need to come to him, to believe in him, and to submit to him. Because at the very heart of the Christian faith is the Lordship of Christ. The advancement of God's kingdom has to do with the reign of God. The reign of Christ, that is the Lordship of Christ. That's why we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and daily follow him. And Lord Jesus says, don't just call him Lord, Lord, but our need to obey his commandments even as we affirm that we love him. That's the very heart of the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus, as well as the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul. Some concluding remarks. We have been considering the importance of the need to have this eagerness to learn, to know the truth. Let's bear in mind that this also at the very heart of the goal of the ministry of the Lord Jesus as well as the Apostle Paul, that we may know the truth. The Lord Jesus wants us to know the truth. He wants us to know the way to enter God's kingdom. And not only that, having entered God's kingdom, to know the way we should live as a child of God in God's kingdom. And a very important truth that he has revealed to us and taught us. And likewise, the Apostle Paul. Same. Their goals are the same. The Lord Jesus also wants us not only to know, but also to actually walk in the light. Likewise, the Apostle Paul. We are children of light, he tells us in Ephesians, and we must walk in the light. Similarly, the Lord Jesus wants us to know the truth and to walk in truth and experience the life God intends for us. Likewise, the Apostle Paul. So their ministry is only to help us to understand, but the know is that we can walk in it, experiential, enter into the spiritual realities that God intends for us. But it must involve the knowledge of the truth. And the Lord Jesus tells us we need to come to him, know him. Paul tells us we need to walk in him. Why? Because he is the way and the truth and the life. This is the testimony of the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. I've gone into this at length with you, the meaning, the significance of the words of the Lord Jesus in chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 6. So he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. That is why he invites us to come to him. That is why the Lord Jesus, that is why the Apostle Paul points us to him. Because if we want to know how to live our lives, it is Christ. He is the way. If we want to know the truth, we have to come to the Lord Jesus. He not only teaches the truth, but it is in him and through him that we can experience and walk in truth. And he is the life. It is in him and through him that we will experience life abundant. Because, as he tells us, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. These are his words in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. So there's a need to believe in him, then we can experience his life. And he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus wants us to walk in the light. And he tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Lord Jesus not only shows us the way, the light not only brightens the path to help us to know how we should walk, but critically, he says, I am the light. So we need to come to him, not just to understand his teaching, that very vitally, and that is a very important truth. You can say this is also a very important part of the fresh dimension of truth revealed in the New Testament. That God now reveals to us what was not clearly revealed at all in the Old Testament. That this coming Messiah is himself the way, the truth, and the life, and that it is in Him and through Him that we have eternal life, as well as the way in which we can walk in the light. Not just He will show us the way, but He Himself is the light. So when we have fellowship with Him, we walk in Him, we'll walk in the light, we'll walk in truth, and as we walk in the light, that is the way in which our spiritual life will continue to deepen. Because he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Yes, when we believe in Lord Jesus Christ, together with Him, as we receive Him as our Savior and our Lord, we receive eternal life. But this eternal life needs to be nurtured. His intention is that we enter into the abundance of life in Him. And that comes about as we draw near to Him, deepen our knowledge of Him, fellowship, deepen our fellowship with Him. Then we will experience more and more light as well as life. And as we saw just now, in John chapter 15, verse 14 and 15, if we want to bear good fruit, much fruit that endures in God's eternal kingdom, then we must abide in Him and He in us. So all this helps us to appreciate why the Lord Jesus, in His preaching and teaching at the call center, He preaches Himself. Our need to come to Him, believe in Him, abide in Him, abide in His Word. And He Himself is the Word of God. And why the Apostle Paul, at the very heart of his ministry, continues not only to point men to Christ, but he helps us to appreciate that even before the foundation of the world, all along it has been God's intention that the fulfillment of God's purposes has to do with our entering into God's intentions for us in Christ. We've seen that's what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1. But all these were not clearly revealed in the Old Testament. But now, with the coming of Christ, the time has come. And all this helps us to appreciate why Paul declares, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the Lord willing, in subsequent message, we'll try to see whether these areas of truth can become clearer to us in a way that can help us how we appreciate the scriptures as well as how God wants us to live our lives. But what are other major areas of truth, like the role of the church, moral spiritual stature? How do all these things come in? Well, reflect upon them, and Lord willing, we may try to understand a little more of how all these fit in into these two major themes of the kingdom of God and the role of Christ in the fulfillment of God's purposes. Whereas now, as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, express our gratitude to God for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, and also for giving us the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to open up the truth in the scriptures to us. Let's pray that the Lord may be pleased to grant us insight into what He intends to communicate to us through the scriptures and how we can respond well, so that we may indeed know how we should live as a child of God in God's kingdom, how to walk in the light, how to walk in truth, how to bear good fruit that endures in God's eternal kingdom. That is how to walk in Christ. how to abide in Him and He in us. Let us ask the Lord to speak to us that we may know what are the hindrances in our lives that hinders us from appreciating this truth and from living out God's intentions for us. What are the steps that we need to take that we may be able to rise up to God's high calling at a personal level and also together in the expression of church life and body life. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the depth of your love for each one of us. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray that you will be pleased to grant us insight into the truth, that we may understand that you've given us the scriptures so that we may know how we can enter into the kingdom of God and how we can fare well in your kingdom and fulfill the part you desire for each one of us and together as your people in our working of your purposes. That we may read the scriptures because we long to know the truth so that we can walk in truth, to walk in the light, to live in the way you desire of us, how a child of God should express himself in God's kingdom even while we live in this fallen world, and how we can bear good fruit, much fruit that endures in your eternal kingdom, and how all this is feasible only because you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. That is through him that we can experience forgiveness of sins, that we can enter your kingdom, that we can become your children, that we walk in truth and walk in light as we learn to walk in Him. That we bear much fruit as we abide in Him and He in us. That you help us to appreciate more and more your intentions for us in our personal walk with you and also together as your people. That as we read the scriptures, you will not just be words and concepts to us, that more and more the scriptures may become alive to us, that we may indeed receive what you truly intend to communicate to us, that we may rise up to your high calling, that we will not continue in spiritual poverty, but experience a life of spiritual fruitfulness and abundance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you help us to partake in faith, that we may be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ. That our oneness with you and our oneness in the body of Christ may be enhanced. Help us to partake, not in an unworthy manner. And so even now we ask that you wash away our sins and help us to walk in truth and in the light. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.